So wake up, wake up, wake up, all you sleepers, stand up. Oh, stand up, stand up, all you dreamers, hands up. Hands up, hands up, all believers, take up your cross and carry it on.
In the TV series What Not to Wear, participants get a fashion makeover. The fashion experts take the participants' old wardrobe and they throw it out and replace it with a whole new wardrobe. Join us as Andrea Langham teaches us from God's Word how we should dress as Christians. We won't be looking in our physical closets, we'll be examining our spiritual closets. So please turn to Colossians 3 and let's join Andrea.
Good morning. It's a good time filler. Good morning. How's it going? Good morning. So excited to be with you guys today. So excited that my heart's going a mile a minute. I'm Andrea Langham, also known as the announcer. And sometimes I'm called, hey, book review lady. You know? I'm also Chris Langham's wife, tall piece of man, super handsome. Sorry. He is the teaching pastor over at Refuge Long Beach, our church plant from there. He also has the ministry called Through the Word, which I have joined him on this long, crazy journey. It's a mobile ministry that the heart is to bring a Bible habit to people around the world. And it's just, I want to give you a little update. It's been a long journey, a long, really hard journey, but the Lord is just doing really cool things. We're getting emails from around the world of, you know, people who are starting a Bible habit and just drawing to the Lord. Last year, 2013, I think there were like 700,000 message downloads of, you know, there's different pastors on there. And it's just been really cool to see what the Lord's doing. So I am getting to help out in that. I also get to help out here, women's. I'm one of the facilitators. I help out in radio here as well. I help out in the children sometimes, you know, less and less, but love our kids here. I get to serve over at Long Beach as well. I make breakfast once a month. I am also announcer girl there sometimes too. It's fun. And then I'm praying about some more opportunities there. I am also a homeschool mom. I have three kids, 16, 13, and 8. And those kids are at home with me all day long, every day. But they're really cute, so it helps. It helps. Keeps them alive. I'm just kidding. So last week, Shannon, remember she taught us about true beauty and how true beauty is marked by God's wisdom. And we saw that awesome picture of Corrie Ten Boom and Kate Beckinsale. And weren't you guys just so drawn to... Corey, sorry, I was distracted by the loud sounds. And today we're going to continue on that path of true beauty, and we're going to talk about what not to wear on our journey as Christians. So let's turn to Colossians 3. We're going to start in verse 5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Go ahead and pray. Oh, Lord, we just thank you so much for bringing us here to get today. We thank you for this delightful hum of the sound system. We thank you for, God, just making us a new person. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for your grace, for your patience, for your kindness, for your mercy to us, Lord. God, I ask now that your words would go forth and not mine. Father, that you would open our hearts and speak to us, Lord, as your daughters, as your beloved children. And I ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. So today we're talking about what we wear as Christians. Today I am wearing a Ann Taylor Loft 2008, some Old Navy, little thrift store watch while my other one's in the, well, it's broken. It was funny, the time hands just fell off of my watch, and I think it's because I'm always running late, and it was like, I've been trying to help you. I've done my part. They just popped off. Who does that happen to? No one. But what I want to talk about is right now is, have you ever worn the wrong thing? Yes. My favorite story, as Bethany shared, I always have stories because I tend to do awkward things. But my most favorite story of when I wore the wrong thing is when we were back in Mississippi. We lived there 4.5 years. And the first Christmas we were there, I got to be part of the Christmas worship program. And we had these two worship leaders at the time, and they said, okay, in the South, they like to coordinate when they're on stage. There's lights, there's, you know, moves, there's coordination. I'm not really into that, but they were like, well, we want to coordinate. And I'm like, okay, I was one of the singers. I was in the middle of the stage. And they said, either wear red, green, or gold top and black pants. And so I was listening to what everyone was wearing, and there was a couple green, there was a couple red, and there was a gold. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll wear a gold shirt, and then we'll even out. So I went to our little outlets in Gulfport, and I bought myself long-sleeved, shimmery, golden, long top. I mean, it was bright, but we were in the land of Southern Belles. I was like, well, it's okay. And to go with my shimmery golden top, long, with my black pants, were these really high, ridiculous, golden, shiny platforms. And so I'm already feeling kind of funny, and I walk in like this, because there are these giant, gold, shimmery platforms, and I get there the night of the program, everyone's in red. Everyone. And I walk in, and I'm like, are you serious? They're like, oh, did you not get the call? We were calling everyone. We decided to go all red. I'm all, no, no. They're all, that's okay. You'll be our bright Christmas star right on the stage. And why are you kidding? So I'm in the middle of the stage. Like, that's where they placed me. It's the shimmering golden Christmas star. And I like to make people laugh, but I don't like to be like the center of attention. Like, I was so uncomfortable. I'm standing there shimmering like Celine Dion, you know, for our Christmas program. And I was so nervous. And I also had to learn all these harmonies, and I'm shimmering and I'm nervous. And I mess up two of the words of a beloved Christmas song. I was supposed to sing Born This Happy Morning, but I started to sing Born This Christmas Morning. So I corrected myself, and I mixed the cruh from Christmas and the appy from happy. And in my golden shimmering goodness, born this, well, you can put it together, what I sang to the congregation. Yeah, just, it might take a minute when you put those together. In my golden goodness. So that was when I was not wearing what I was supposed to wear. Let's look again at verses 5 and 10. Verse 5 says, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And again, verse 8, and now you yourselves are to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. So doesn't this kind of sound like a bunch of rules? Like, I thought we were done with rules. I thought that now that we were in Christ, it's all about grace. Ephesians 2:8 says, you were saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. So has God changed? Do we not have rules anymore? This sounds like rules, but we're not supposed to have rules anymore, right? Has God lowered his standards of how we are to live? And the answer is no. In chapter 2 of Colossians, Paul talks all about legalism, how we do have rules that we used to live by, and our rules and our, you know, a bunch of do-nots, do not do this, do not do that. But in Christ, we are a new creation. But we kind of forget that today, right? As our world is changing around us, and we're changing what is called sin and what is not called sin. We're calling evil good and good evil. We're wondering, but is God the same? Is God lowering his standards? And the answer is found in verse 1 of Colossians 3. No, God doesn't lower his standards. God raises the dead. He doesn't lower his standards. He raises the dead. Chapter 3, oh, I'm all over the Bible. Where'd I turn? Sorry. Chapter 3, verse 1 says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. So the first thing we're going to talk about in dressing the part of a Christian is, who are you wearing? Number one is, who are you wearing? Like on the red carpet, it's a question asked to everyone. Who are you wearing? Well, I'm wearing, well, like I said, I'm wearing Ann Taylor 2008 Loft Outlet. But have you ever tried to wear something that didn't fit anymore? And I'm not talking even just like tight, you know, something that doesn't fit. As a new creation in Christ, when we have been raised from the dead, like verse 1 says, we become something totally different. We are given a completely new closet, and the old things don't fit anymore. Another favorite story of a time I didn't wear something that didn't fit was when I was pregnant with my firstborn, Daisy. I was young. I was 20 before I had her, and I had a younger cousin who had had a baby, and she was a little track star, little fit, little thing. And she was like, oh, Andrea, you can bring your old pre-pregnancy jeans to the hospital and wear them home. I was like, okay, great. That's great. Didn't matter that I'd gained like 55 pounds for my pregnancy. Great. So I bring my little jeans. Joy's like, I've had four. I know. I think I got them to here. But I did. And you can't go home like that. But I did, thankfully, I had a pregnancy dress, but I didn't want to wear just the dress because of all the things. Anyway, I won't get into details. So I walk home wearing, not walk home, drove home, walk out to my car wearing my pants up to here. It didn't fit. It was from my old body. It didn't belong anymore. And as a new believer, these don't fit in at all. And this is the list in verse 5. These things, as a new believer with a new closet and a new body, these are the things that you were to put off. Verse 5 says, fornication. Fornication is any sex outside of God's ordained plan for marriage. Put it off. Burn it. It's pretty self-explanatory. The next one he says is uncleanness. Uncleanness is dirty thoughts and dirty living. It also has to do, these next four things all have to do with sexual immorality. These are done. This doesn't fit anymore. Your pre-pregnancy jeans don't fit anymore. You take it off. You are a new creation. It doesn't work. The next one is passion. And the word for passion here actually means like lust. It's lustful thoughts or any kind of thoughts that are outside of what you would have for your spouse. And it just doesn't belong anymore. Evil desires. I think that kind of is self-explanatory. Anything that's evil, anything that you desire is bad. I mean, that is bad. You are to put off, take out of your closet. As long as you're looking from evil from God's point of view, so you have to know what God's point of view is evil. What is evil in God's point of view? And finally, it says, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And I think we all know what covetousness kind of means in our hearts. It's the same word used in Luke 5, where Jesus says, to beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist of the abundance of things. It's when we become greedy. It's when we want those things that we don't have. And we seek it, and we make it an idol to us, and we have to have it. And it's discontentment with what God has given us. And as a believer, Paul says, don't do it. Stop it. Take it off. And now in verse 6, he says, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. So all these things, like we were saying earlier, they're still wrong. You know, God has not lowered his standards. These things are still an issue, and we are to put them off. Verse 7, in which you once lived, when you lived in which you yourselves walked, once walked when you lived in them, when you had that old closet, these are what you wore. And then we're going to go, now Paul goes into the next section of dressing as a Christian, which is take it off. Woo! Take it off. Verse Take it off. Paul says in verse 8, but now these things are to put off. And the word here for put off is like a coat, like this sweater. It's really hot. I'm not going to take it off because I'm not going to show my arms. But is as simple as that. It's taking off. When you become a new creation in Christ, you have to take off the old things. Have you guys ever watched What Not to Wear? Anyone? The last time I got to watch it, I had a TV that got it like through antenna, and everybody had like bright, you know, like that antenna look where everything's bright pink and everybody's lips. So no matter what they did for the makeup, their lips were always bright pink. But you guys know what the first thing they do in that program is they bring someone in, they show them in a 360 mirror what they're wearing, and for, I know, which is mean. It doesn't matter what you look like. That's just not right. But to me, that's like the law. You know, the law shows us exactly what we look like, and then we have to say, okay, we're ready, take it off. And the first thing that they do is they take their clothes from them and they throw them away. They have to take everything out and throw it away. And that's what Paul is saying here. Now that we've become Christians, now that we are in Christ, God has replaced our closet of crazy clothes with his robe of righteousness. That's what we have on. And for me, these old rags are like, that we're supposed to put off, are like the crazy old clothes we used to wear that we try to put on over our robes of righteousness. For a little while, before I knew Christ, I was into the raver scene. And I had on, like those bell bottoms with the fur at the bottom. It was a different time, it's a different era. I had, you know, those, even though some of you in the 70s, you know what I'm talking about, because we just borrowed from that group. And then we had, I had a belly shirt to go with my little bell bottoms, little belly chain. And for me, it's like God's robe of righteousness is this really cute maxi skirt. You know what I'm talking, Bethany always wears these cute little skirts. And to try to put on my little bell-bottom stinky jeans from 20 years ago over my skirt. That's what these things are like. They don't belong, and we're to take them off. Verse 8 says, the first one, we are to take off anger. Anger is that slow, simmering feeling of anger that you have. It means a slow boiling. The other day, I saw a woman actually walk through the door, and she was angry, and you could see it on her face, and it was a little ugly. Like, I was like, whoa, is that what I look like when I'm angry? Like, she was upset, and it looked out of place. Does that mean to put off anger, we simply smash it down, keep it inside, don't let them see, don't let them feel? All you Frozen people know what I'm singing. No, because that's an expensive way to live. Therapy costs a lot of money, and that's not the way to live. No, you take it off. It happened to me recently. Some things, very, very wrong things were said to me just the other day, and I'm driving into my car, and I've got that simmering, and you know, your mind goes, and you keep thinking of other reasons why you're mad, and I was like, God, I know this is anger, and I know you want me to put it off, not just forget about it, not just pretend it doesn't exist, you want me to take it off, but I can't right now, I need you to help me. And it was really cool, because within 5 minutes, the Lord, just in my normal goings of the day, I was serving. I was just serving other people. And like that, it was gone because I took the focus off myself and I just started serving. And the Lord helped me take that off. Now I can bring it back. I can easily bring it back if I let it get back into my head again and start dwelling on it. And I haven't squished it down, but I had to take it off. And the Lord did that for me. So sometimes, you know, it's different in different situations. Sometimes it's just serving others that'll help you take it off. The next one on his list is wrath, taking off wrath. Sadly, I keep a little belly shirt of wrath in my minivan. And wrath is that volatile outburst of anger. usually, you know, a lot of times it is accompanied by simmering and then wrath happens. Wrath is when you just let go on someone. Rah! For me, it happens. I put my little belly shirt on over my muffin top and my old stuff over my new body. I put it on when somebody is walking my way on the road or when they struggle to turn left at a left green arrow. My wrath comes out and I have to take it off because I will lose it. And I'm known to throw up my hands. I've shared this before. You know my sin. I'll throw up my hands or I'll look at him or I'll be like, are you kidding me? Turn your car. Which I seem nice, right? I try. My belly shirt usually stays in my Vinny van, but it's got to go. The next one is malice. Malice, you guys know, is that wishing harm or bad things upon another. And again, I think that happens a lot more in church than we realize. Have you guys ever dealt with, there's somebody who maybe has hurt you or maybe you're even jealous of, though we don't always call it jealousy. We'll call it like discernment or they're, I don't know. We'll just be judging them and then we're jealous of them or whatever. Well, when you hope that something bad has happened to them, not really bad, you just hope people don't like them. Have you done that? Like you've heard an update on somebody that you kind of, you were upset with and you hear like, oh, they're doing great. They're doing so good. The Lord's so blessing them. And you're like, oh, well, just wait, you know? Or you hear, or even worse, you hear that something bad has happened to them and you're like, oh, good. Well, that's what they deserve. Well, that's because they're, you know, so-and-so and so and such and such happened and it's their fault. You know, and we rejoice in it. That's malice and it's not right. Recently, Rick Warren, you know, he lost his son to suicide, and he had shared that because since that has happened, he has read so many Christians and non-Christians just almost gloating and glorying in the fact that his son died. And it's malice, and it's ugly, and it sneaks up on us, and it's so sad, you know? I think it's one of the languages of the world. You know, every time, like on any kind of entertainment thing you see, they're just constantly putting people down. And like when one of the celebrity stumbles or falls or has a bad day, we're on them and we're ready to jump on them. And we can join in. So we got to take it off. Take off those MC Hammer pants of the day. All right, the next one is blasphemy. Blasphemy is impious and reproachful speech injurious to divine majesty. Basically, it's how we speak about the Lord. Is his name safe in our mouth? How do we regard him? I mean, there's times where like people take Jesus and almost make his name a joke, you know, and it's supposed to be really funny and it makes me sick, you know. The world laughs at it, but you're like, I don't know. I don't want to be judgmental because I'm not sure exactly where the line is, but even like those Jesus is my homeboy shirts, I'm like, I get it. And maybe for some people that's good, but for me personally, it's just like you're just kind of taking away his majesty. It is, you know, it's holy. His name is holy. He is holy. We got to be careful of that. And another side of blasphemy is putting yourself as God or putting something else as God. And that's what Jesus was arrested for. He called himself God, and they said he commits blasphemy. And there's those times in our lives where we try to make ourselves God, where we decide we're the Holy Spirit, and we know how to change people, and we want to fix people, and we want to judge people, and it's blasphemy. So we watch out how we speak, and that goes to the next one, filthy language. Take it out of your mouth. Before I was a Christian, I kind of had the mouth of a sailor, which is kind of crazy because I sound like a child, so it totally was not fitting. And the filthy language, it's like the speech of the world, and it doesn't shock me necessarily. Like when you see it in a movie, have you guys ever been in a movie and the theater's quiet, and then all of a sudden somebody will like spew a swear word and everybody just erupts in laughter, and you're like, how is that funny? Are we in seventh grade? Like, why is snoring funny? But the time it does shock me is when Christians are wearing swearing. I know, I was so excited I wanted to say wearing swearing. And it happens. It does happen. You know, when people, they're walking around, you're like, there's so many other good words you could use right now. It's just something we don't judge one another because it can happen to all of us. You guys know, if you're wearing anger too long, if you've got your little anger shirt on, sometimes those bad words go back in the head. And if you're not taking them off, you might almost say it. Or we say our little substitute swear words, or I have a substitute swear word for driving that I'm trying not to say right now. But we have to take it off. It doesn't fit anymore. It doesn't work. It looks ugly. It's not part of our outfit. And verse 9, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man and his deeds. And I was really praying about lying. And I really feel like what the Lord's saying to us this morning is lying is more than just saying untruths. It's also half lies. It's also white lies. And I think what we're in the church are most guilty of is the lies we tell so that we don't hurt another's feelings. You know what I mean? Like when somebody asks why we haven't texted or called them, and instead of saying, well, I was upset, or we make something up and we're like, well, I was just too busy. No, you didn't call them because you didn't want to talk to him. Now, does this mean that we're supposed to just walk around everyone and be like, I'm upset with you. I'm mad. I don't really like you, so I didn't answer the phone. No. No. There's something called speaking the truth in love. And if you don't have something nice to say, Joy, we don't say it at all, right? That's what our moms taught us. If you don't have something nice to say, don't say it. But we need, I think, to stop not telling people how we feel and making up lies. Because the thing with making up lies with one another is that we don't quite believe one another, and I think it makes the relationship worse. There becomes an awkwardness because you don't know if somebody's being truthful to you or not. The other day, my mom was mad at me, and she called me and told me that she was upset with me. Now, I don't want to get into the situation, and I definitely have, it's easy for me to make someone mad. Like, I'm not saying I would never anger anyone because, you know, I could easily make someone mad. But in this particular situation, it wasn't really my bad on this one. But it was so cool because the whole time I'm talking to her, instead of being mad at her for this situation, I was actually like, but I know where I stand with her right now. Like, she's being honest with me. She's not going to be silently punishing me later, being upset with me, and then showing me that she's upset by speaking unkind words to me or not texting me back, not that I'd text her that much, but you know what I'm saying? She was being honest with me, and I'm like, Lord, help me to be that way. Help me to speak the truth clearly and honestly in love. And it kind of goes with what Paul is saying in the next section. Because now that we have learned as a Christian with what we're wearing, what to take off, we're going to talk about the fourth part of dressing like a Christian is what we put on. Verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. Tender mercies here means compassionate hearts. Really thinking about what it must be to be like to be in someone else's shoes. We know that the Lord put on compassion. He, God, came down and walked in our shoes. He became human. He went through everything we went through. And he had compassion on us. And we need to do that with one another. And I think if we do all of these things that we're supposed to put on, it'll be a lot easier to be honest with people because we won't always be angry at them. You know, we're a family. We're going to, you know, rub each other the wrong way. As a body of Christ, we're sisters in the Lord, and sisters don't always get along, right? I don't have a sister, but I have a brother, and we didn't always get along. And sisters in Christ, we're going to hurt each other's feelings. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. But if we put on the holy garment that Christ has given us, that we have exchanged our closet for, then we're going to put on, we're going to be wearing tender mercies, compassionate hearts. We're going to be putting on kindness. And for me, kindness is just being sincerely nice, saying kind things for the benefit of that person, just for their benefit, not so that they like you more, not so that, I don't know, for whatever reason that sometimes we do, but just for the benefit of that person, we're kind. And the next one in verse 12 is humility. Humility for me is like the shimmering golden necklace of the outfit, or the, I would say, I don't wear a lot of gold, I would say silvery diamond-studded necklace of the outfit. Humility is beautiful. Have you guys, when you guys looked at the picture of Corrie Ten Boom last week, we saw a woman who was so wise, and in her wisdom was so humble. Have you guys read the book, The Hiding Place? You're reading this story of this woman who's going through this craziness and is going through, you know, just horrible things, and you hear her heart the whole time is wisdom and humility. Like, I'm no better than you. I'm just a sinner, just like the rest of you guys are, and it just comes across, and humility is beautiful. We realize in humility that we're in the same boat as everyone else. Without wearing Christ, we're just zombies. We're just walking zombies. We realize in humility that others might be wearing crazy outfits, but we're wearing crazy outfits too. Humility, you know, it's so easy, especially after reading the last section about what to put off, it's sometimes easy to see everyone else's outfit, right? Where it's easy to look at them and be like, oh, girlfriend's got her fur-lined bell-bottoms on again, but I'm wearing clown shoes. You know, and that's humility. Humility is not wanting to correct everybody's mistakes. Humility is knowing that you're not perfect either, and instead of correcting them, showing them the mirror, which is Christ. Bringing them to Christ and trying to live with all your garments on so that you can be a blessing to others. The next one is, sorry, verse 12. Meekness. Meekness is like a gentleness. And gentleness, we know, turns away wrath. In 15:1, a kind answer turns away wrath. When somebody is gentle, it's hard to be angry. It's easier for me to take off my wrath shirt when somebody like cuts me off but then waves. It's like a simple sign of kindness or meekness. I'm good. Like, I've seriously been really upset if somebody flies in front of me and you know, they've stopped me and they've stopped my way, but they've just are like a little bit of meekness. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's fine. We're good. We're fine. Everyone's fine. And it comes a situation. And this is actually how kindness and meekness are how I take off my wrath shirt when I'm driving. My kids hear me over and over. As soon as it pops up, I'll have to go, you know, I'll be like, what are they? I'm putting on gentleness. She's lost it. But they know that's how you take off wrath. You put these on. You take off your old, you put on your new. The next one is long suffering, which is patience. That is the key. We have to be so patient with one another. You never know what's going to happen to a thing until time brings it to light. I've noticed that. You will see someone and they might bother you, or you will see something in yourself that just drives you crazy. But over time and through patience, God will bring it to light. It's just like in Gideon, where God calls Gideon the mighty warrior while he's hiding in a barrel from everyone else. When he's a coward, he calls him mighty. You know, he calls him brave. It's patience. It takes time. And it's the same with us, with ourselves, being patient with ourselves, knowing that God is conforming us into his image, which this is all about. From the beginning, God made us in his image. If you go to Genesis chapter 1, I think 26 and 27, God says over and over, we're making man in his image, in our image. We're making man in our image, in our likeness. And that's the point. He is making us in his image. We have a new image, but through sin, we took off his image and put on death. And now we've been raised back to Christ, and he's slowly but surely, faithfully drawing us to him. In verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against you, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. We have to, as wearing our new garments, we have to put on forgiveness. It's not an option. And how much easier is it to choose when you don't have an option? You know, going to In-N-Out is a lot easier because it's either a burger or not a burger. You know what I mean? But then you go to like Carl's Jr., like I could get a burrito or I could get a hamburger or I could get, you know. When you don't have an option, it's easy to choose. We have to put on forgiveness. You forgive so that you can be forgiven. God says, you know, in the parable of the unfaithful servant, he was forgiven much and then didn't forgive his brother. It's the same with us. We have been forgiven exponentially more than we will ever have to forgive of others. We have to do it. It's not a choice. And forgiving doesn't mean that what you're saying is that what that person did was okay or that they did that right. Forgiving is not counting it as a debt against you anymore. It's clearing it away. It also means that we can be wise and not help that person stumble in sinning against us again. We have to use the wisdom of the Lord so that we're not put in that same place. However, we have to take it off. And wisdom is one of those things that sometimes I grudgingly put on. Did I say wisdom? I meant forgiveness. All right. Forgiveness is one of those things. It reminds me of when my girls trying to get them in a dress. Okay, that should be the fun of having girls, is you get to put them in dresses. But you guys know my little Shiloh, she likes to wear long soccer shorts and like long sleeve shirts. Like putting on a dress is just pain for them. And it's just like when I put on forgiveness, I'm like, I don't want to. But as soon as they do, you're like, oh, but you're so beautiful. And that's forgiveness. Once we finally let the Lord dress us in our pretty little dresses of forgiveness, we're so beautiful. You just have to do it. And finally, above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. So the final thing we put on, the crown upon our heads of our cute little maxi skirt gown, is love. And love is patient. Love is kind. Love is long-suffering. All these things we just talked about. When we put on love, when we choose to put on love, it makes all the rest easy. When you have love on, it's easy to take off anger. When you have love on, it's easy to take off wrath and filthy language and all that stuff that comes upon us. So getting dressed every day as part of, and I don't want you to misunderstand me. I know this is not, like I said before, how we are saved. Getting dressed as a Christian is a daily battle. It's something we never give up. It's just like in the morning, every day you have to put on your clothes. Some days we struggle and wear our PJs all day, right? Some days we're like, I'm not doing it. I'm not getting dressed. And in our lives too, some days we walk around, I'm not putting that on today. I'm going to be ugly and I'm going to wear my belly shirt and I'm going to like it, you know? And I'm going to walk around in my gold shiny top for everyone to see. But we still do it. Every day we get up, we put these things on, we take off the old, we put in the new. Until we become, you know, we see Christ in his glory, we will always have that, but we never give up. It is worth it. It is worth the fight. So my question to end today is, so what are you wearing? It's important, so very important, to have on Christ. You have to have, the whole thing goes back to you are wearing Christ. You are no longer wearing yourselves. If you try to do this on your own, if you try to put these clothes on by yourself, you're just putting on filthy rags over a dead body. And filthy rags are no good. We put on Christ. If you're, again, if you're saved, it's just an everyday struggle. But if you don't have Christ on, then it's an eternal issue. Let's turn to Matthew 22 really quick just to end. In Matthew 22, Jesus likens the kingdom of God to a wedding feast of a king for his son. And he goes out into the country and he invites all his friends and everyone who's invited, and they all have an excuse why they can't come. And we know that at that point, Jesus is talking about, you know, the Jews, the chosen people. And then he says in verse 8 of chapter 22, then he said to his servants, the wedding feast is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the weddings. So the servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. And the wedding garment that he speaks of, you guys know, is the garment of Christ's righteousness. Without the wedding garment of Christ's righteousness, none of this doesn't matter what you put on or put off. It doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter how clean your language is or how kind you are, how gentle you are. If you don't have Christ on, you will not inherit eternal life. So today, if you know someone who doesn't have Christ on, instead of trying to take off their old dirty rags and reveal the zombie underneath, don't do that. Instead, share with them the love of Christ, how he has a brand new, beautiful, sparkling robe or maxi skirt or whatever is pretty to you on for you to wear. Let him be the Lord and Savior in your life and encourage him to be the Lord and Savior of others. Let's pray. Father, we just this morning so thankful that you give us the right things to wear. That in you we have all we need for holiness and godliness and godly living, Father. Father, forgive me for when I'm constantly trying to put on those garments that are old and don't fit anymore and stinky and filthy. God, and help me to put on those garments that you have for me that are beautiful. Lord, I pray that you would just guide us now in our time of discussion and our small groups, Lord, and pray that you would be glorified in all we do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
So wake up, wake up, wake up, all you sleepers, stand up. Oh, stand up, stand up, all you dreamers, hands up. Hands up, hands up, all believers,
take up your cross and carry it on.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.